Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are working our way through the book of Acts, and we're only a couple of sessions into this.
I think we're in week three, right?
Yeah, week three. We're going to be doing this for about 11 weeks, so we've got some time. We're in chapters a little bit of 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Right. So if we back up, so last week there were kind of three main threads that went through. So Peter and John healed a lame man, and so we talked through that, and it was at the temple, you know, which kind of falls through to today's stories also. And we found that the ruling class imaginists, they weren't happy. But you have this Jewish ruling class and all the Jews, and now you have this Christian sect at this point that considers themselves Jewish, but they're not Jewish.
Right.
And
well, they're Jewish ethnically, but they're no longer quite lining up with
the
Jewish religion.
They're still going to temple, and they're still seem to be following most of the Jewish rules at this point, but we'll see that's coming to a head.
Yeah,
and it needs to.
Yeah, they're going to start pulling away. They don't know, and this is something that we've been saying multiple times now. They don't know any better, right?
Yeah,
The church is brand new.
This is my life. I go here. This is where my social is.
Right.
This is where not their Sundays, but where my Sunday is.
Yeah. And well, they're praying there during the day. You know, they're there for afternoon prayers. They're giving alms to the poor. That's why the man was for alms. It's the fact that the church started in chapter 2 did not flip a switch and everything is different now, in the way we typically think of church. This was a very slow process rolling out into what became the Christian church.
Right. So the last part for last week, because I said there was three. So the third part was a couple donated money to the church, and it turned out they lied about it, and both of them ended up dying.
Yeah.
So that was last week. So this week we start with the Sadducees just being jealous and still jealous. Many people were converting to Christianity, and I think we even see that in churches today. When a church converts a lot of people and takes people away from churches, we get jealous. You want people to believe what you believe, and when they go elsewhere, jealousy is one of the first things that come up.
Yeah.
They put all the apostles in jail, right? They gathered them up, put them in jail. An angel lets them out.
And, again.
Of course he does, right?
Right. I love the fact that when they got there in the morning, they weren't there.
Yeah. So, right? You put them in jail, and we'll deal with you in the morning.
Right.
Angel lets them out, and the angel tells them, hey, go back to the temple, preach. There. So the Sadducees were like, where are they? And I don't know, the jails were still locked.
Yep.
And that's a big deal, right? Because the jailers, their lives are on stake.
Yeah.
If they're taking care of their prisoners, and the prisoners weren't there, so they had to be panicking.
Yeah.
So they find them in the temple, and they take them in front of the Sadducees, and they make it a point of saying, without force.
Yeah.
Right. So now they're in front of the high priest and they're having a discussion, and the high priest is like, hey, we told you not to teach in his name, and now you're teaching in his name and you're blaming us for his death.
Right.
And Peter says, I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to obey God. You don't want me to obey God?
Right. And this is a big thing here in chapter 5, verse 25, Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than people, right?
Yeah.
There is a principle that when the government, and this is true today, when a church, when a government, when an organization says, you must do this, and it goes contrary to the Bible, not necessarily contrary to my preferences or my whatever, but if they tell me to do something that God has said, you will not do that, I can't do it.
Okay. Right.
If I'm going to sin against somebody, I'd much rather sin against people than sin against God. And I would certainly much rather be punished by people than be punished by God for...
Right. And people may say, well, they didn't even have the Bible at then. But we had an angel telling Peter, go to the temple and deliver your gospel message. Yeah. So a direct order.
Direct order from an angel from God. Right.
Let's see. Angel Sadducee. Okay. So the high priest was definitely angry. And then one of the Sadducees stands up and because they kind of huddled up.
Yep.
Right. Hey, what are we going to do? And this guy said, don't do anything.
Just a quick clarification. He's a Pharisee.
Okay.
Not a Sadducee. He would be offended if you call him a Sadducee on the other side. But I mean, and there's a reason I bring that out is because he ended up being Saul's teacher, and Saul was a Pharisee.
Oh, right.
And so the fact that he shows up this early is actually really interesting. So sorry, go ahead.
Why is it interesting?
Because Saul is a Pharisee.
Because
he shows up this interesting. Okay. Yeah. Or okay. this early.
Okay. So this guy basically says, "Hey, don't do anything." You know, and he lists a couple of times in the past where there have been a group of people, and when the head of it was removed, you know, cutting off the head of the snake, you know, what happens to the rest? It just falls apart.
Yep.
So he's expecting the Christianity to just fall apart because the head, Jesus, has been removed.
Right.
And everybody's like, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the flip side of his argument is, if this truly is from God...
Right.
You don't want to be on the wrong side.
Yeah, great.
Right.
Yeah.
Now here's another interesting historical fact. Okay. Everybody using Daniel's prophecy, mm-hmm. the 70 weeks, the whole thing, everybody knew approximately when Messiah should be showing up. Okay, because they can date the 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9. Everybody knew approximately when Messiah should be showing up, and there were false messiahs showing up around that time. What they didn't know is how old was he going to be. They knew he would be born in Bethlehem. That's Micah 5, right? But they didn't really know when. They didn't really know where other than that. So there were actually, at that time, several people popping up. I'm the Messiah. And they would get this big following, and then it would fall apart.
Yeah.
That's what he's referring to. What if this Jesus of Nazareth guy is just another one of these guys? Right. Why are we messing? Why are we wasting our time? It's just going to fall apart, just like all these other false messiahs did.
And if not, we'll figure it out. Right? So they summon the apostles, and one line, right? They had them beaten.
Yep.
And then they sent them on their way. You know, kind of humorous, but I'm sure it wasn't humorous at the time.
Yeah.
From the standpoint, they ordered them not to speak of Jesus and had them released. And then, interestingly enough, every day the apostles preached at the temple.
Yeah.
You know,
they're not going
to
stop.
They have to do, right?
Yeah, they're not going to stop.
So that just means it's forcing the issue, right? Forcing the issue to a head.
Yep.
And at some point, something has to happen.
Yep. Yep. And what happened is that people kept being saved.
Yeah.
And this thing kept growing.
Right. So chapter 6 talks about deacons.
Yeah.
So now, like you said, the church is growing. And there was a complaint to the apostles that they realized they needed help. Right. Because at that time, everything was coming back to the apostles. Every decision was being made by the apostles, which is fine. Now we have over 8,000, and it's being added, you know, let's just say 10,000.
Yeah.
They can't handle everything.
Yeah, yeah, we don't know exactly where. Yeah. But you think of this is still true today, right? A person starts an organization, you know, they're the founder, you know, it's a couple of partners, whatever it is, right? And as the thing grows, everybody wants to make sure that the founders have their say, and the founders want to make sure that they have their say.
Yep.
At some point, it just outgrows you.
Yeah. Well, or the business stays small, right?
Right.
Because it's forced to stay small because the guy's not letting go.
Right.
But now so many people are added, something is happening.
Right.
Right. So the apostles come up with, let's have deacons.
Yeah.
And the idea is the apostles, the deacons are a little bit lower, but the deacons are responsible for, and then they name what the deacon's job is.
Yeah.
At this time, you know, waiting tables.
Yeah.
More than that. But
yeah, specifically,
but to take on,
right,
take
specifically on this type they had of a task that they needed to do, which was very physical. You know, like you said, waiting tables for, you know, serving food because of the need, especially with widows. you've used the term deacon a couple of times. This, a lot of people think this is sort of like the nut that, or the acorn that the deacons grew out of. I don't think what we see here is, I mean, what we would have today is much more developed than what we find here. This is a very early version, but it is a version of the apostle, and we have to make sure that we understand the apostles were not elders in the sense that we think of pastors today, So it's not like we have elders and deacons here in chapter 6 the way we would, you know, you have apostles and you have waiters.
So later Paul really makes the job descriptions for what an elder is and what a deacon is. What is it, 1 Timothy and Titus I think there was a couple other ones,
too. That's about it, as far as the lists are concerned,
On what to do. So, and that's when it definitely becomes more formalized.
Yeah, it's definitely more formalized. This is like, you know, shot in the dark. Like you said, these guys are like, we don't have enough hours in the day to do everything. We need help. But we're not going, what's interesting is we're not appointing more apostles.
Right.
It's very interesting.
We're adding a layer underneath.
Exactly.
And even that layer they added 7.
Right.
I mean, for 8,000 people, 7 more, that, you know, there's still not enough.
Yeah, there's not enough. But again, it was a very narrow focus. Task that they were supposed to be doing. What I find, I think it's important, though, that they did not appoint more apostles. And they did not appoint any kind of successors to the apostleship.
It died out very
early on that the apostles were the apostles and there weren't going to be any more. And they planned it that. I mean,
is interesting because you would think right after Jesus died, they thought it was a good idea to add a replacement for Judas.
Right.
So really the template was there when the next guy died. Oh, we got to add another one.
And they didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. You're right. The precedent.
Very interesting.
There were a couple of people who sort of got tagged alongside apostles. You know, Barnabas is called an apostle or whatever, but not an appointment like the way we see this happen here.
Interesting. So one of the deacons was a man by the name of Stephen. In fact, I think he was the first one listed in there. So Stephen was arrested on trumped-up charges, and he was brought before the council, the same council we were talking about before, and this is where it's coming to a head. And then we get into chapter 7, and Stephen gives his defense on, you know, why he is preaching what he preaches and what he's talking about, and there's 53 verses in here. It's great, but it's also a history lesson, starting with Abraham, walking through the Jewish history, hitting the high points that, you know, these guys absolutely knew. You know, I take it to be that he wants them to know I'm a good Jewish boy.
Yep.
And then there's a break.
Yeah.
And the break is with Jesus, right? And here's where I am now, which is completely different than, not you, but completely different than where you are.
Right.
And people got mad.
Yeah,
is a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
He ends with, "And you received the law by decrees given by angels, but you did not obey it."
Yep.
And then, you know, let's see. He ends with when he's talking in his first part of the speech, "You stubborn people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you keep killing the prophets."
Yep.
And then that's his segue into Jesus.
Yep.
And they rip clothes and stone him.
Yeah. Yep. Stone him to death. And the last words that he said, he looked up into heaven and God gave him sort of like a behind the scenes, pulled the curtain back and he saw Jesus actually there. Now, what's interesting is, again, we don't know how many years, if any years, you know, we don't know how long it's been from chapter 2 to chapter 6. Did Stephen know Jesus personally? Had he ever heard him before? We don't know, right? But he saw Jesus, he recognized him, and he said, I see him standing at the right hand of God, and which just drove them crazy because they knew exactly what he had to be saying. He was, you know, claiming,
Messiah.
You know, the deity and
right.
Couple of things that's you pointed out a couple of things here that I want to elaborate on just for a minute. In verse 53, you received the law by decrees given by angels, but you did not obey it. Frankly, chapter 7 tends to be a little long and boring, especially if you already know the story, the history. Yeah. So most people don't even know verse 53 exists there, right? But it's one of three times in the New Testament, here in Galatians and in Hebrews, that says that angels were somehow involved in God giving the law to Moses. It was actually angels either were witnessing or mediating or something. They were involved when God gave on Mount Sinai, you know, the Ten Commandments, right. The tablets, the whole thing. Right. Somehow, and this is one of three times. So it's not like we're, you know, building a doctrine off of one statement. Right. This is three different writers, three different speakers, three different places in the New Testament that say that angels were involved, which is just really interesting. Secondly, the uncircumcised hearts and ears, you said they're always killing the prophets. And so he's charging them with the sin of their ancestors, killing the prophets. But he also said a second thing. He said, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't bring that part up.
It's the second part of that thing, which means that the Holy Spirit is calling them, the Holy Spirit is inviting them, even knowing that they're not going to respond or they're going to respond negatively. He's still calling them and inviting them in, with the gospel, and they are resisting, which there's our entire theological systems out there that say, oh, you can't resist the Holy Spirit, and when he calls, you have to, and all this stuff. Stephen's looking at these guys saying, "You number one, you are resisting, which means, number two, the Holy Spirit is calling someone he knows is not going to believe. Right. Nice. I think that's a major, or it's an important thing that we should at least know in our system. Yeah.
Right. So Stephen is stoned. He's the first martyr.
First Christian martyr, yeah, right? Yeah.
Christian martyr. But also, I think this is the turning point then, where it was, hey, let's be nice to these Christian guys, cut off the head, to go away.
Yep.
Now they're like, we're done with this.
Yep. We've beat the apostles and thrown them in jail a couple of times, but we have not touched the general populace right. yet.
In fact, they're getting bigger.
Yep.
We need to do something else. So they take Stephen, they kill him. And then this guy by the name of Saul shows up.
Yep.
And that's in chapter 8.
Yep.
And Saul starts to persecute the church. And more than likely, we know the story, Saul will turn into the Apostle Paul. But at the beginning, he is an active Jewish Pharisee.
Yep.
Seems to be very knowledgeable, very zealous. And he sees the Christian church as a blight,
yep.
and that it needs to be getting rid of.
Eradicate all Christians. Right. You cannot have people worshiping a human. And we have to understand that he is. He's the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was when you pull together Galatians and Philippians and some of these other places, including later in Acts, we're told that Gamaliel was his teacher, mentor.
Yeah.
I grew up at the feet of Gamaliel.
Right. That was this guy. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's there. He watches Stephen be killed. He approves of it. Right. And then he gets a little bit of taste of, I want to be a part of this eradication team.
Right. So he goes back to the Pharisees and it says, I need a letter.
Yeah.
Saying I can basically do what I want.
Yeah.
And basically arrest who I want.
Yep.
And let me go out and start picking up Christians.
And what we find out again, and Paul tells his story in several different places throughout the New Testament, but he was not just arresting them, but if they resisted, he was killing them. There was no love lost for...
Yeah, and with that letter, there was nothing coming back on him.
Yeah.
Right? He had approval to do this.
Right. Carte blanche, right?
Yeah. So the church was forced to scatter.
Yeah.
Right? And interestingly enough, it now takes this group of people that was at temple every day and forces them to go out into the world.
Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
It says everybody except the apostles. So I don't think that's every individual person, but I think that's, I mean, the majority of the church now has scattered out of Jerusalem.
Yeah, so at this point, Philip went to Samaria, and he started proclaiming the gospel. And I think that we kind of underestimate how hungry they would have been. Right, so Jesus came. He definitely stopped in Samaria a number of times. You know, talked to people, but there was always an edge on there. Not with Jesus, but with the people coming back to him because of the way the Jewish population treated them.
And just for geography's sake, so you've got Jerusalem down in sort of southern Israel. Samaria is just north of that. Today it's called the West Bank. It's the area on the west side of the Jordan River. That's ancient Samaria. So we're not talking like they left the country and went forever away. I mean, he just took a couple of day walk north.
Yeah. Well, and then a little more north is back to Galilee, right? Where Jesus had his home base up in that area. Yep. So and if he went to Jerusalem, they had to go through Samaria or you kind of walk around.
Yep. Yep. But the Samaritans, you're right. The Samaritans historically were the descendants of when Assyria took the northern tribes captive in 722 BC. So we're talking, you know, about 750 years earlier. They left some Assyrians there and they intermarried with the people that weren't worth taking, basically. And they ended up living there and growing there. They had their own Pentateuch. Okay, they have what's called the Samaritan Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They have a little bit of a different take on that, and that was their Bible. They had their own center of worship there in Samaria. Definitely didn't go up to Jerusalem, so they had one there in Samaria, had their own Bible, but they were still partially Jewish, and they were still expecting Messiah to come. So there was this anticipation. So even though there was animosity between Samaritans and Jews, they were still waiting for Messiah. And so when Philip came with news of Messiah...
Right. They were interested in it.
Right.
Philip also came with doing miracles.
Yeah.
Two in there. And there was a man that is identified as a magician by the name of Simon. He lived there, and it said that he claimed to be someone great.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, Simon the Great, you know, with a magician, you know, pulling a rabbit out of the hat. And, but even Simon believed, right, as part of this. And he was baptized, and it said that he stuck close to Philip. And you can kind of see that. And then, you know, maybe he was trying to steal what Philip's magic was.
Well, right,
or what he was doing.
And that's
right?
The thing is that he was, you know, doing maybe tricks or possibly even dark magic. You know, may have been demonic power, but what Philip was able to do
was way
obviously
ahead of him.
Different.
Yeah. Right. So he wanted to check it out.
Yeah, I want some of that. That's really gonna boost my reputation
around
here.
Exactly.
Right? If I believe what you tell me, can I do what you do?
Right.
Which again, just like the apostles are not, you know, replacing themselves with new apostles, the signs and the miracles and the wonders and everything were limited to a very small group. It was the apostles
and a few others.
Right. Yeah. Stephen was one of these others. Philip, some people aren't sure whether this is Philip the apostle or Philip the deacon as an evangelist, right? But... Yeah. Still, the miracles that were being done, this was not everybody. It was never everybody in the church. It was always a select few, and it was the apostles and maybe a couple others.
Right. So to finish up his part, I'll jump ahead a little bit even, and then we'll go back. Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was being given to some of these people, and he's like, I need this, right? I want this.
Yeah.
Hey, can I give you money
to show
me how to do it?
Okay, so
I jumped ahead.
I was going to go back.
I just wanted to finish Simon's story.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, sorry.
Because there's an important part in there.
That's not the way the notes were. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is coming. So that's even better magic than what Philip was doing.
So I want to buy it. So he offers to buy it, and it doesn't go so well for him.
Yeah, right.
Right, and you know, going up, hey, I want to be able to do this. How much is it going to cost me?
Yeah.
And it was Peter, right? Peter didn't take it too well, said some very unflattering things to him.
Yeah.
And Simon actually had to, you know, he backed off a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of discussion. Was Simon really a Christian? Was he not a Christian? Trying to do this. It seemed like he was, but he was wrong in this way. And I don't know, they necessarily repented, but he certainly backed off from where he was.
Yeah, but you have to understand, I mean, he's only, you know, I think he was saved
for a couple of days,
he's like 2 days old, right?
Yeah, give the baby a break
type of thing. Right. Yeah. What does he know yet? He doesn't know anything, you know, so you can understand. I really... Yeah, this question, well, you know, he did something bad. You know, it was so bad. Was he really saved? It's like, why are we looking at that to confirm his salvation when he's only 2 days old?
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people do that.
Right. Okay, so backing up. So John and Peter heard that Samaria had accepted, you know,
the gospel. Yeah.
And it's like, we want to go see this, we want to go check it out. So it said they came to Samaria to give them the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that's where you were going, right?
Right.
So what's going on here? You know, why wouldn't at salvation time the Holy Spirit have come on?
Yeah, so this is a very important piece that even in the notes, and we talked about this, you know, it's a transition point. Mm-hmm. Acts is full of transitions. Okay, just because something happens in Acts doesn't mean we should expect it to happen today exactly the same way. In this case, we have to remember that Jesus, back in Matthew 16, told Peter, I am giving you, singular, the keys to the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? Well, we don't really know until we get to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, you guys are going to be my witnesses, and he lists three areas. In Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and in the rest of the world, right? So there are three sections. It's interesting that three times in the book of Acts, someone was saved, and Peter had to be there before the Holy Spirit or when the Holy Spirit came. So Peter was the one who preached in chapter 2, where? Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit came, and Peter was the one who explained what was going on.
That's the tongues of fire that came
and onto
everybody.
Here we have Samaria. That's the second group, right? Not quite Jews, not quite Gentiles. And they are saved, but they don't receive the Holy Spirit. They're not in fully yet until Peter shows up and, in a sense, unlocks the door for them to do that.
Yeah, I never took it that way.
And then
we're going to see a third place.
Next time we will see in chapter 10 where it's true Gentiles, Cornelius. It's Peter who's sent to his house, not one of the other ones of the apostles. And after that point, every time someone is saved, the Holy Spirit comes on immediately. It was only these three times in the book of Acts that Peter has to be there. Because once Jews are opened up, Samaritans are opened up, Gentiles are opened up, nobody's left.
Yeah, that's the third. Because the Gentiles were other.
Right. And it's shortly after that, then, that we see the ministry in Acts shifting from Peter to Paul. Primarily a Gentile ministry, the Jewish ministry diminishes in a sense, and we can talk about why that is later. Peter's done his job, and now the whole world is open.
Right, nice. And that's also where we stop for this week.
Yep.
Too.
Yep. So,
so great.
A lot of really cool stuff in here, some theology stuff, some organizational leadership stuff. I hope you're enjoying the book of Acts. If you've been following along with this, there's still a lot to go. We still have several weeks left, several sessions left in this. We'll start slowing down as we, you know, it seems like, you know, we're
jumping
a quarter of the way through or something. I guess it's about three weeks, about a quarter of the way through. So there are pieces where we'll have to slow down. But there's going to be a big shift here coming up. But right now, we're still focused on the primarily the Jerusalem ministry. And getting some pretty theological and practical practical points going on there. So if you have questions, if there are things that we skipped over simply because of time that you want to point out, absolutely contact us. We'd love to hear what you're learning. Share this with your friends and family because this is pretty exciting stuff, and I'm sure they would be excited to hear it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll be back next time, and we'll dig into, we'll finish chapter 8, and we'll just keep on moving through.
Keep on trucking.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.